VentureCast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The We Are the World special, you know, because I made my children watch it with me. They did not want to watch a documentary about the 80s, but they found it interesting. But when Prince wins a Grammy for Best Black Single, my son is like, wait, what award was that? I'm like,
yeah,
they had the Best Black Single. He's like, wait, you just called the award the Black Single Award? That's the award.
It's important for people to go back and see those moments. Like,
yeah,
for this generation that feels like no progress has been made, that's a good moment that Prince won Best Black Single in 1984. They still had that.
And I'm like, he's like, you guys did that? I'm like, whoa. I'm 50 years old, man.
Yeah, you guys. Yeah, you were in charge of that.
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
What is happening? This is great. Here, seeing you on a Sunday night. Did you all get a shower in after the road trip?
Didn't get one. Didn't try to. I am rolling dirty for this podcast. Sure.
Year long road trip. Wow.
And maybe this goes for Tim too. How cheerful is your wife and children about the lack of showering? Because mine are quite salty.
Oh, really? Mine are indifferent.
They've just grown used to it. You beating them down?
Well, you know what's funny is there's a theory in my house that I don't stink even when I don't shower. And so there's not much consternation about
that. Theory has only one proponent, and that would be you.
That's right.
You're the maker of that theory.
I will bring to the next podcast
proof
that my family doesn't think that I stink when I don't shower.
I would like that. Yeah, there's a theory.
We got back from the desert, and my wife is like, "What is wrong with you? You don't even smell after 5 days in the desert." So,
I gotta ask a question. This is a personal time, and my wife is gonna be horrified that I'm bringing this up on the podcast. But last week, she told me that she does not like the smell of my deodorant. Now I've been using Speed Stick Ocean Surf since, I don't know, the 90s.
Speed Stick Ocean Surf. That's your go-to, Timmy?
Yep.
It's amazing.
And now,
all right, here's another.
After 21 years of marriage, she's like, the woman who loves you is telling you to stop wearing that.
Yeah, time for a new scent, my brother.
I've given up deodorant in the last week.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. I think that's a fair reaction to it. I think maybe some raw garlic. He's just rub raw garlic in there and see how she likes that.
So, Ben,
the ocean smell now.
Ben, do you use deodorant?
Hell no.
Yeah, I don't
shower or use deodorant. Never. It's fantastic over here in Tennessee.
Never used deodorant in my life. And my son got me a whole bunch of fancy deodorants for Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, this is great. Thank you so much. And I wore it exactly one time while he was home, so he would think that I was using it. But if anybody listening needs fancy deodorant, I will have unused piles of it forever for you to take from me.
Hey, so. Ben, there's a theory in the Simons household that he doesn't smell, yet his
Except
son
they're giving him deodorant. It's weird. It's a mystery.
Well, the boy smells, so he assumes that everybody else smells.
So now you're double backing the buster. He's not here, so it's not you that smells. It's he that smells. But deodorant. I see.
That's 100% correct. It's projection. I'm tripling down on that assertion.
This podcast has gone in all sorts of directions. Welcome to 50 Years of Music with 50-Year-Old White Guys. If you couldn't tell after that lead-in, we have...
It's always something new on the podcast. I love it.
We have finished our musical road trip, but season 3 is not over until we give you a podcast with the best songs of 2023 and the best albums of 2023. So here on the Electricast Network, We're going to do the best songs of 2023 first. Gentlemen, before we get into 2023, any shows coming up for you, Jeff? Any concerts either of you have been to in the last few weeks? Any music news you want to comment on? It's open forum.
I spent the whole morning in the studio finishing all of my parts for the second album. So it goes to some other folks for sweetening.
Holy smokes.
And then mixing, mastering, and looking at probably a September release for that.
Wow.
And my next show is Saturday, May 11th at the Bizarre Cafe on California Street in beautiful San Francisco.
Terrific. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Wow. Should be fun.
Betty, any news?
A helpful entree, Tim, because first, I owe an apology to the good people of the Bay Area.
Oh,
I went out to go speak at Stanford and visit Jeff, and
landed
about 3 p.m. and 4 a.m. I'm going over the Bay Bridge Sunday afternoon, no traffic whatsoever. Just I was like, what was I thinking?
Yeah,
this is amazing.
It's gorgeous. Yeah.
What critique did I possibly have?
Like, uh-huh.
And everyone was super friendly, loved it. It was great. So I take back all that I had to say about the Bay Area.
What a relief.
Yeah. So I just came back from my visit to Jeff.
I know
spectacular. The Golden Gate Bridge is just a wonder, an engineering marvel. Out to the left, the Pacific Ocean, to the right, the bay. I mean, it's just beautiful. And then I came across the Bay Bridge to get to the airport. Spectacular bridge as well.
Yeah, amazing.
Bridges everywhere. Love them.
we're thrilled to host either of you anytime.
So. And then concert-wise, we just had the Big Ears Festival in Knoxville, Tennessee, which I believe I've described before. It's the guy who was the co-creator of Bonnaroo, Ashley Katz.
Okay.
Sold his company, sold Bonnaroo, and he's taken his money, and now he has this crazy nonprofit that puts on this Big Ears Festival, 4 days of music in Knoxville, Tennessee. And it's basically like if you are familiar with the Brooklyn Academy of Music, the BAM in New York.
Yeah.
It's like all this weird hipster, like super aggressive jazz, super aggressive classical, and then rap and other stuff, but none of it popular.
Jam
it all together in 4 days, and they put it in Knoxville, and it's weirdly fantastic. It's so good. You get a huge blend of things, and then you actually get the occasional pop act that fits in with the oeuvre. So, you know, Vampire Weekend, Wilco have played, along with Sunno, the evil metal act that I described. So,
okay.
Big highlight for me was Adrian Lenker.
That's the one I wanted to add.
Big Feet. It's just solo acoustic show. Came out just with a little guitar and a chair, like she just carried the chair out. But she sat down silently, didn't say anything to us, and then just like fussed with the mic for a while. You know, like you've seen this thing with like the little boomerang where she's like moving it up and down, then it falls, and she's like chuckles, and then she's back, and then a guy comes running out, and she's like, no, 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 I've got it, and then she gets back to it. Anyhow, I was starting to get nervous, and then she just bursts into this just like super intense finger picking, and then this high pitched mumbling. And then she did that for an hour and 15 minutes, and I was completely mesmerized. Like I was just blown away.
Huh.
Her dedication to the bit. She didn't strum the guitar until like minute 52. It was just
what?
Like finger picking and singing. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, totally.
What's her name again?
Adrian Lenker. L-E-N-K-E-R.
Adrian Lenker. All right. Well, I've got some big news.
Let's hear it.
As well. I had a big meeting of the board of 50 Years of Music with 50-year-old white guys out in San Francisco. Jeff and I sat down and hammered out.
Wow. Wow. That was amazing. Dude, this
I can't believe you sold me out, dude.
This is just like NWA when Eazy-E meets with the manager. And Ice Cube gets left in the back.
I was
waiting. Anyway, on a related topic, we've been 3 seasons and I've been paid nothing. Very similar to Ice Cube's payment.
Oh my God.
Were you guys divvying it up at the Tesla factory? Is that what you guys are doing?
Oh man, I've been rolling in it.
I just today received a payment from Electrocast.
Oh, the manager got paid. but don't worry, it's in the mail. That's the story now. Good job.
And I will Venmo you.
Keep mine.
Yeah.
Just
No,
you've done all the work.
I want you to buy your wife a pizza. I'll send you your share.
Right.
I loved your reaction to that, though. So here, we also want to see your reaction to this, Ben. And if you're not up for season four, we understand.
Oh, we can go on without me? That's if you're not up for it, that's fine.
We
haven't made it clear that you're not invited, you're not invited. I got it.
We reached out to Snoop's representatives. We'll see if he's available to jump in. All right, Ben, just your reaction. You could give us the real reaction later, but your reaction now, we want you to be super positive. Ready? For season four, we pick a date from our lives, research what we were doing and what we were listening to, and that's the podcast. August 30th, 1978. We just picked 20 dates. September 1st, 2007. What were we doing? What were we listening to? Let's go.
I like this idea. That's actually a pretty good idea.
All right.
It's
going to
be rampant speculation. And I can promise you that those days are going to be weirdly more interesting than you might imagine if we have chosen 20 random days. But
and it'll
be
really cool to look at the charts of that week and see if there's any relation. Yeah.
Yeah, it gives us a chance to get at some music that we haven't talked about, perhaps. Also, some guilty pleasures. I feel I've had a lot that I wanted to say about James Ingram. And I haven't had the chance.
What don't you have? What isn't guilty of your pleasures?
There's worse musical taste hidden below.
All your pleasures are guilty.
That's not fair. I don't know whose guilty pleasure Morgan Wallen is, but he has the number one hit of 2023. It's not that I haven't heard this song before. I haven't even heard about the fact that Morgan Wallen had a hit. But apparently the number one song of the entire year, Jeff Simons, is Last Night.
It's the number one single.
Last Night by Morgan Wallen.
Last night we let the liquor talk. I can't remember everything we said, but we said it all. You told me that you wish I was somebody you never met. But baby, baby, something's telling me this ain't over yet. No way it was I last night. I kissed your lips, make you grip the sheets with your fingertips. Last bottle of Jack, we split a fifth. Just talking about life, going sip for sip. Yeah, you know you love to fight. And I say shit I don't mean, but I'm still gonna wake up on you and me. I know that last night we let the liquor talk. I can't remember everything.
Thoughts?
Anybody know the story with this guy?
No, I don't at all.
Well, what song that Ben shadow over does he rip off here? Can anybody hear it?
What do you got? I don't know.
Oh, nice!
Yeah. All right, go back to him.
Never been near a university.
The classic C major slide to D major in the same fingering.
Okay.
So you get that ding, 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 ding. If he does go to E minor, which the boys in XTC do not, but it's the exact same guitar lick played more slowly. Not that there are probably not 700 other songs that use
just
this guitar
like that
lick, but
all right, well, tell
it,
jumped,
it made me laugh when I heard it. I was like, oh well,
I know that song.
We have denigrated that approach before on this podcast, so.
but
yeah,
Jeff,
what is the story?
That is a great advertisement for Mayor Simpleton. You've really brought me around to it now. See what you're looking at. So Knoxville native Morgan Wallen went to Gibbs High School, which of course is actually in the county, not in the city, because that's where all these folks would live. He has been a bad boy country act. Do you know the scandal that
I do
derailed him? Let's hear it.
Mr. He shouted the N-word on an Instagram post at an Eagles game or some kind of sporting event.
Why?
He had an African-American guy hanging out with him, and he called him the N-word.
Yeah.
So then there was an attempt to cancel him, which was really dumb, super dumb, because that just makes this kind of thing stronger. So he declined to be canceled. And then at one point, it was like the record label did something with him. But needless to say, he came back stronger than ever. And so he's the really bad side of the current country. At least, I mean, you can hear there's real instruments in it and stuff, but the songs are bad, and I do not care for him at all.
Did he just throw a chair and get arrested or something in Nashville? Who's the guy that threw the chair from the top floor and got arrested?
This is a great question.
Anyone with
while we research that, I totally agree with Ben's take. This song has like lots of stuff I really hate.
It's Morgan Walling throwing the roof off the chair.
Throwing the chair off
the chair. I like
the
it.
Chair off the roof.
Throw the roof off the chair. I like it. That's our new slogan.
So he's arrested in Nashville this Sunday. So perfect timing.
That's just stupid. Why are you throwing the chair off a roof?
Well, also the use of the auto tune and the stupid low beat drop drums. Like, it's just, it's funny. It's like he took all the things that annoy me from three different genres and put them together. Like, it's like, I don't mind people being hybrids and taking things from different genres, but I would prefer they take the things that I actually like. And he is leaning into the things that annoy me. So yes, hard pass on this song for me.
So if the mayor of Knoxville were to give him a key to the city because of his great musical success, Ben, would you go to that ceremony?
I would not. I've passed up opportunities to see him. He's been, I mean, he literally went to Gibbs High School. Like I've known who he is and what's going on with him since he was
long
18.
Time.
So,
well,
yeah, I've had many opportunities to see him in small places, and I wouldn't see him in a big, he's played the basketball stadium. Like I could him for 18,000 people, but no thanks.
All right. We'll wait for his next album to get excited. Hey, Jeff Simons, the fact that this song I'd never heard before was the number one hit made me wonder what's going on with Billboard. So I did a little research on Billboard. Any idea when Billboard started, Jeff Simons?
1954 is my guess.
Oh, no, wait. It's earlier than that. Earlier than that.
It is earlier than that. It starts in the early 1900s measuring sheet music sales.
Oh, is that right? Same company.
Unbelievable. All the way through the 1940s when they start collecting data on what?
That's radio play, right?
Record sales. First.
Record sales. Okay.
In 1958, they moved to the DJ survey, which includes airplay. And so that becomes part of their mix as they build their top 100. And
inventing the entire opportunity for payola.
Yes.
Oh, dude, the different versions of Billboard sucking at doing their job are hilarious. Keep going.
Yeah, really.
And then, how is Morgan Wallen number one? It's a mix of studying radio play in America, sales, both physical and online sales, and a number of streams of songs.
They do YouTube also. YouTube is a major place that they measure.
That's correct. That's correct.
I tell the SoundScan story every year in Torch 2. So the way they used to do album sales was similar to what they did with the radio play. They would actually mail a questionnaire to the owner of the record store, and then the owner of the record store would hand write in what was for sale. And you could probably guess that was not the world's most accurate count on it. But not only was it inaccurate, it was predictably inaccurate. There were certain genres that were downplayed and certain genres that were upplayed because the owners of record stores hated certain genres.
Right.
And if you think back to so SoundScan comes in, and what it means is that they actually just use record stores that are big enough to have a thing that scans the barcode. And so instead of guessing at the sales, every Sam Goody, every Tower Records, and some smaller record stores have it. So they have an actual count on the record sales, and overnight, three different genres go to the top with three different acts that are obvious selections for it. Can you guess the three different genres that record store owners in 1988 hated and undersold?
Rap?
Country, rap, and
R&B?
No, hold on. Okay, so first, country's correct.
Okay.
Who's the artist that's the face of when country starts getting counted?
Garth Brooks.
Garth Brooks! Yeah. And then it wasn't just rap. It was a particular subgenre of rap, which was
gangster rap.
Gangster rap. Who's the face of this?
NWA. Yeah.
NWA.
Oh, yeah, okay.
There's all of a sudden it's like you're like, wow, these guys are really popular. And then the really dirty guy from Miami, whatever that guy's name was, also.
Two Live Crew.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
And then the third genre. Did you get it? All right. The third genre, here's how you'll know it. In 88 and 89 and 90, bands in this genre were touring the country playing basketball stadiums and never got played on the radio. And according to Billboard, sold no albums, but they were selling a lot of albums. What genre is this?
Huh. Basketball.
Slayer. The top act is Metallica. Like Metallica went from like just what is this? Like we have this thing that we don't like, and they're mad and they're always yelling at us. And then overnight they went through the roof on the Billboard thing. Dude, you want to hear the craziest thing about the SoundScan thing? So it's advertised in Billboard how popular these things are, and then all of a sudden now they put money behind it, they put backing behind it. Garth Brooks goes from playing small towns in Tuscaloosa, he's playing football stadiums,
Cowboy Stadium, yeah.
The crazy thing about it is that while the world may not have known that those albums sold, the labels knew. Oh. The labels had to know. They keep their own records on how many they ship out and the money they get back. And they didn't do anything about it until they were shamed by Billboard. Isn't that insane?
Nuts. That's Dude, nuts.
And then the thing they did next, which is amazing, is they killed the single to force everybody to buy albums. Once SoundScan came in and they were like, oh, we can get an accurate count, rather than let people buy the single, let's make them buy the album. And they tested it with what song that you will not believe where this song peaks.
So you're saying that this song was a
this
hit,
song does not make the top five because they underproduce copies of the single.
And so you have to buy the album.
Give
us the year.
Tell us, man. I love this.
It's Can't Touch This.
Oh, that's a great one.
Oh, and that album, which I bought,
so
was
Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him. So it's a diamond record, meaning it sold 10 million copies.
Oh, man.
You Can't Touch This peaks at number 8.
Which is insane because you could not walk out the door without having the song being played.
Yeah. And that's based on 12-inch remix DJ copies, which is the only version of the single they produced, is the big 12-inch for DJs to play. They sold so many of those that the single went top 10, but you couldn't buy it anywhere else. And that's the moment when they're like, we're going to make these jackasses in the 90s buy the whole record for one song. So it starts with Hammer, and then the second record that they do that for is Vanilla Ice. And that
was
Props to Malik Ali for that knowledge.
Malik knows
we were talking
that.
About
that's,
it in the van yesterday.
That's insane. Oh, well, you know, I meant to tell you this when I watched the We Are the World special, you know, because I made my children watch it with me. And they did not want to watch a documentary about the 80s, but they found it interesting. But when Prince wins a Grammy for Best Black Single, my son is like, wait, what award was that? I'm like, yeah, they had the Best Black Single. He's like, wait, you just called the award the Black Single Award? That's the award?
It's important for people to go back and see those moments. Like,
yeah.
For this generation that feels like no progress has been made, that's a good moment that Prince won Best Black Single in 1984. They still had that.
And I'm like, he's like, you guys did that? I'm like, whoa. I was 4 years old, man.
Yeah, you guys. Yeah, you were in charge of that.
That's the world I inherited. All right. I got real quick trivia. We're 50-year-olds plus. And they say that memory is the first thing to go. That short-term memory, that's what we have trouble with. We're going to prove them wrong right now. The 2023 Major League Baseball champion was?
The Texas Rangers.
It was the Texas Rangers. Excellent. Give me the 2023 NFL champion. Super Bowl winners in 2023. Just a little year ago.
Oh.
Was it the Chiefs?
It was the Chiefs. Yes, yeah. The Chiefs repeated
as champions.
And they
played the
champions.
Eagles.
No, in 2023, they played the Niners.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
The NBA 2023 champion.
Look, the 2023 championship actually happened in 24. That was really confusing.
I understand.
Oh, okay.
But Super
so
Bowl
last
winner.
June, who won the NBA title? That was the Denver Nuggets.
Excellent. Now we're on fire with the NBA.
Defeating the Miami Heat.
I'm a little nervous about this. NHL 2023 champion.
Oh, no fucking idea. That's NHL stands for no hell.
Okay. It was the Las Vegas Golden Knights.
I might have been able to guess that.
Oh really?
Oh, really? If you give me 100 guesses, I wouldn't have remembered that that was a team, and I would have gotten that wrong.
They are the most successful expansion team ever in one of the four major sports.
Okay.
That's right. And my Oakland Athletics hope to repeat that when they move to Las Vegas in 3 years.
Living in Sacramento. Sad. It's going to work out great.
I went to the game Friday night. That's a whole separate maybe I'll save the going to an Oakland A's game for the album of the year conversation, but I have many thoughts.
Okay. Wow. Sad ones. Who won the 2023 Masters, since it is Masters Sunday as we record this?
John Rahm. Won
excellent, Jeff Simons. Masters. That's a great pull. NCAA Women's Frisbee Champions.
University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
That is correct. The Pleiades. Woo! And finally, Cornhole Champions at the Cornhole Championships in Rock Hill, South Carolina, right down the mountain from Asheville.
Everybody who wins. Won?
You know what it is? It was the Citadel. The military college also specializes in cornhole. It's weird.
Well, that'd be great. It'd be great for them to be good at something.
Eddie Grindelslav and Caleb Batson brought home the 2023 Cornhole Championship in Rock Hill, South Carolina.
I can't believe they still call that sport cornhole. I just can't. I'm never going to get over that.
Did either of you see the Beavis and Butthead segment on Saturday Night Live last night?
I did not.
Okay, it's a winner. All right, let's get to the Grammy of the Year. This was just a couple months ago. They had the Grammy Awards, and this is the Song of the Year Grammy Award winner for 2023.
It's the Grammy winner.
What Was I Made For by Billie Eilish.
To float, now I just fall down. I used to know, but I'm not sure now what I was made for. What was I made for?
We all know that one.
Do you like it, Jeff?
I thought the performance at the Grammys was great. Yeah. I don't know if you saw it, but she did it live. And I thought the Grammys had two really great performances this year. I thought Billie Eilish doing this song was great. And I thought Miley Cyrus's performance of Flowers was lights out. I thought just destroyed it. I loved it.
Huh. I did not see that one. I saw the Tracy Chapman duo, or duet. Ben Barton, what's it like listening to a Billie Eilish album?
That's good. I like her. I like that song. I like the movie, and I like that the movie got kind of, depending on how you feel about it, got kind of screwed on the movie award. So I was happy that the song picked it up. And it comes at a great part in the movie. So I dig it.
I totally agree.
I dig her. She's like, it's a little mopey, but that's reflective of the time. Sad to report. And, but yeah, she's not like, she's like a little bit like Lana Del Rey, or she's a little bit like Olivia Rodrigo. She's not a cut for the same cloth. She sounds different than other people and is still popular, and I dig that. And she also apparently like writes her own stuff.
She still has a great record in front of her. She's so young and she's learned so much. I would love to hear what her happy record sounds like.
Okay.
That would make me, I'm looking forward to that if it happens.
Maybe some keyboards, right, Ben? Just bring keyboards into the album.
No, dude, she's a beautiful piano player. You can hear it there. Like that's an actual piano, so that made me happy too.
So I received a note from listener Rick up in Minnesota. Thank you, Rick. First of all, he wants us to keep going. He wants a season 4. He's pretty adamant about that. He also, Jeff Simons, gave you a shout out for the 15 out of 15 on last week's compilation in Seattle when you guys ran the table on the last,
it's the first time ever, right? It's the first time ever we ran it. Yeah.
So it made me miss
the, the Ben Barton erasure continues. He congratulated Jeff on that. Oh, that was nice.
You know what else? Rick has a great voice for radio. I don't know if you
he would. He'd fit right in. He'd fit right in.
He knows the shtick. But Ben Barton, you also received feedback from some a friend of yours who's going through season one or season two. I can't remember.
Yeah. So dear beloved friend Scott Schimmel is up to date.
Okay.
Other dear beloved friend Jonathan Wimmer is working his way through it. So I'll see him out to dinner or at a bar or when we're hanging out, and he'll be like, "Are you mad at Tim?" What's one of my favorites. I'm like, "What happened?" It's like he asked you who died, and you were like, "I'm not playing this game anymore. I hate this game." I was like, "I wasn't mad at him. I promise."
But
the best.
Since we're back in 2023, we're off the road trip. It is time to bring back Who Died.
We're doing it again.
Oh yeah,
special.
Another podcast say this, and I love this. We call this the segment sponsored by no one, asked for by no one.
Yeah, there you go.
That's good. That's good. Oh my God, I forgot to do a commercial break because we don't do it. Ah, well, we'll figure out where to put that.
Oh, I think Who Died should be brought by somebody right now.
Right now.
If there's anything a commercial would love to be before, it's before the in memoriam moment.
All right. So here's what, remember, this is a competition. This is the way we did this. I say something, and whoever has it first yells out the name of the person who died. And the clues are going to get easier as I go.
Thank goodness.
All right. Remember, this is a clue. Ready? Mel Gibson. Bryan Adams. Ike Turner.
Oh, Tina Turner?
Tina Turner is correct.
What's the Mel Gibson? We Don't Need Another Hero.
Yes, she worked Beyond with Thunderdome. She worked with all three of those men at one point in her career. It is 1-0, Jeff Simons. Here we go. Person number two. Glory. Homicide. Life on the Streets.
Oh, Andrew
Richard
Brower.
Belzer.
Ben Barton is correct. Brooklyn Nine-Nine was the next one, next clue. So Andre Brower also passed away. It is 1-1. 1-1 going into the last death.
Oh, keeping it short.
Michael Clayton. Shakespeare in Love. John Adams.
Oh.
All right, have neither of you...
Suzanne Summers?
It is.
Henry Kissinger.
The Suzanne Summers drama comeback. Have neither of you seen Michael Clayton?
I've seen
Michael
Clayton.
Yeah, I saw it like 27 years ago.
Oh, such a great movie.
Who's the dead guy who said that?
Dead guy in all three of those movies was Tom Wilkinson. Tom Wilkinson.
Oh, character actor Tom Wilkinson? That was a
character
lot.
Actor.
That
he was carries. A lot. He carries. He's Ben Franklin and John Adams. What are you talking about? Oh my gosh,
that was a tough one. That was a tough one. We'll take that as a tie, 1-1. Although I think
Tina
I get
Turner,
points for knowing that she's
Tom Wilkinson. Even scales on those two people for sure.
All right. I am going to now list different game. Different game. I'm going to now list a number of political figures who died in 2023.
Ah.
And you're going to claim one as a person you have an affinity for. But you have to claim it when you claim it, right? Like, you can't both wait to the end because you don't know who's coming next. I'm just reading a list. Is there going to be someone better who comes along? Or is
can't
it going to be
Yankee
like...
swap or whatever? Can we trade? Hey, listen, I don't like my dead guy. I'd like to trade my dead guy with your dead gal.
All right. Here we go. I can't remember the guy's first name. The Italian Prime Minister Berlusconi.
Him bad.
Bill Richardson.
Him okay.
Dianne Feinstein.
Her Sandy was worse in the beginning.
Sandra Day O'Connor.
I'll take her. Big time king.
Rosalind Carter.
I'll take Rosalind for sure.
Henry Kissinger.
Whew. No, thank you.
Pat Robertson, Daniel Ellsberg, Ted Kaczynski, Jim Brown.
Aww.
You guys made your choices. Go ahead, defend your choice.
Oh, wait, hold on for just a second. Did I tell you guys the Ted Kaczynski story?
No,
he was put in the Colorado Federal Supermax.
Okay.
Where he spends 23 hours a day in protective solitary. And he gets 1 hour a day in fresh air with two other prisoners. Who are they?
What?
By the way, he's dead. This is when he was still alive.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who are the two other prisoners?
In the Supermax in Colorado.
Yeah.
Is one of them a mafia figure?
No. You want me to give you a clue?
Yeah. Are they both murderers?
They're also famous bombers.
Ooh.
Famous
bombers. Oh, God. Oklahoma City guy.
The Oklahoma City guy is one of them.
Someone from the weather.
The failed World Trade Center?
The first
for the parking lot?
World Trade Center bomber. God. That's the three.
That's a fun bunch.
So, first of all, how is there not a movie about this? Like, right. What? Yes! How has Hollywood failed
I'm
us
on it. I'm
that
on
we
it.
Don't have a movie about these three guys? That's first.
All right.
Second, can you imagine the arguments between them where Ted Kaczynski's like, technology is killing us. And the other guy's like, no, it's not. It's the federal government. And the third guy's like, no, it's not. It's the great Satan. And they just go in circles arguing about it.
Oh, my God.
And then Kaczynski being like, you guys are morons. And they're like, well, you're so smart. And he's like, yeah, listen, Oklahoma City guy, you got caught speeding driving out of town. That's how you got caught. You got pulled over speeding. And then the first World Trade Center guy got caught because he went back to get
the refund.
The rental van, even though he'd blown it up. He was like, I want my money back.
Oh, what an idiot.
God, that really is like a Jean-Paul Sartre sequel to No Exit. Those three guys walking around the prison yard talking about.
But then also they must have had, I mean, like Kaczynski made everything from scratch and so did the Oklahoma City guy. Like they must have had some good bomb-making talks for sure.
Fertilizer.
Good Lord.
That's an insane play right there.
Is that not? You're right. That's incredible.
I'm going to start
right now. Someone's listening to this podcast like, I'm stealing that idea.
Well,
maybe Rick in Minnesota.
What we need is like a young security guard who knows nothing about it. Like, hey, guys, how's it going today? Do you want your Dr. Pepper?
First day on the job, he gets that. He gets that.
That's right. That's right.
That job. He can be played by Timothy Chalamet, and then we'll get funding.
Oh, there you go. Good idea. All right, real quick, before we get to our three songs, Ben Barton, how is the dog in your life? We haven't talked about your dog in a while.
The dog has basically been permanently adopted by Dahlia.
Oh.
The dog has moved from being a family dog to being Dahlia's dog.
Where is Dahlia living?
And in more personal information, Dahlia has... graduated, took a year off, did a fantastic gap year here in Knoxville, Tennessee. She made a bunch of money as a waitress and then spent a month in Bali and got yoga certified.
Okay.
She's teaching yoga and waitressing and applying for and getting Teach for America.
Teach for America.
All
she's
right.
going to teach at a public charter school in Nashville, and she's moving in a month, and the dog will be going with her.
Taking the dog, just like that.
Totally.
I love
That's it.
Hey, please tell Dahlia, watch out for chairs. This is apparently a problem in Nashville. You're going to want to head on a swivel.
And Jeff, your softball game, that was my big question. B's softball game rained out.
Doubleheader rained out. B was
so
scheduled
sorry.
To pitch game one.
Oh, come on.
Super frustrating. Unseasonable, hard rain through mid-April here in the Bay Area. We don't know what to do. So I think we're going to have one of those weeks where we have like 9 games in 3 days coming up. So that'll put some stress on the young arm. Yeah.
And then finally, Ben Barton, a publishing question. As I am looking into publishers and pitching a book, which is this whole other incredible process, was your goal when writing your book to write the book, and then if anyone buys it, it's just gravy? Or did you have particular goals in mind as far as readership?
More the first. Yeah.
Write the book.
Write the book.
Have the book.
And, And the good thing about that is that you write the book that you want. The bad things about that is that maybe you don't write a book that's going to sell a jillion copies. But I don't think that I would be any more successful if I aimed at selling more. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Yeah, but, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Write the book. All right, I've done that.
Good.
Will you guys buy it?
Yeah,
I'll
hell
just,
yeah.
I'll just, yeah. I'll just take it out of your earnings for Electric.
There we
cast.
Go. I'll just consider me pre-ordered.
Yeah, I was hoping to get paid in scrip based on how things were going. So it sounds like that's going to work out for me.
All right. Well, let's go. R3. So, I got to bring back the whole audio for this. Man, I got to figure out where that is. All right, let's do it. R3 songs.
That was a great cover.
Well,
that.
No, I found it. Don't worry.
Okay, so I know people are hearing this and hearing my voice. Tim promised to find old audio and put it in. There's no way that happened. We are covering with his R3 songs. And this is me proving me right that he's far too busy to dig that out.
I can't wait to eat your words or you eat. Dang it.
You're going to eat Jeff's words.
R3 songs.
Kenny, you go first.
All right. I went with a popular song of the year and a weirder album of the year.
We're only doing song.
Only doing song. Okay.
I know. I'm just explaining. I'm explaining.
He wasn't there at the meeting. So.
controversially, I told Dolly my selection and she was like, this is an inappropriate selection for you as a 54-year-old white man.
Ooh.
So the song that I'm selecting is A&W by Lana Del Rey. All right, so it's a 7-minute song. The first 4 minutes of the song are a really slow, kind of upsetting piano ballad where the chorus is, this is what it feels like to be an American whore. That's the chorus of the song. And then there's a weird instrumental break, and then there's this like really groovy, bizarre dance song about getting high at the end of it. And I love the song for several reasons. First, it was released as a single way before the album, super similar to Venice Bitch when it came out. And so I was like right on top of it. I was like, oh, it's a 7-minute song. And I loved it right out of the gate. The first 15 times I listened to it, I was like, I liked the slow piano part, but I just couldn't wait to get to the dance part at the end. And then the song is such a rich work of art that it was one of those songs where it's like, then I went through a whole month where I was obsessed with the first 2/3 of the song, like where I looked up the lyrics and I thought super hard about it. And it's a really interesting reflection. And she's like carving out this space, like almost the way Springsteen carved out space to talk about American white men. She's carving out this space to talk about American white females. Like, just the body of her work is continuously returning to ruminating on this question of like, what is it like to be in your late 20s, early 30s, and a good-looking female artist in this time of just how brutal it is to be her and any of her contemporaries. So Jeff, I'm going to ask you to play maybe 30, 40 seconds starting at minute 3, and that'll give us the picture of the slow part, and then we're going to get 30, 40 seconds at minute 6.
A&W by Lana Del Rey.
Do you really think that anybody would think I didn't ask for it? Didn't ask for it. Won't testify, I already fucked up my story. And on top of this, so many other things you can't believe. Did you know a singer can still be looking like a side piece at 33? Gosh. I turned on the back beat, puts the shower on while he calls me. Sleeps out the back door to talk to me. I'm invisible, look how you hold me. I'm invisible. I'm a ghost now, look how they got me.
Now, play the rest. You gotta play from there.
Oh.
Sorry.
Now, this is the experience of being an American whore. It's not about having someone to love me anymore. Now this is the experience of being an American whore.
Now you can stop. So you can hear it starting to buzz out into the electronic part there.
And here goes minute 6. You want it to the end? Minute 6 to the end?
or 40 seconds after minute six is fine.
You got it.
The very first listen through, the your mom called, I told her you're fucking up big time. Just fucking murders me in the middle of the song. It's so fucking funny.
Yeah, and then it just keeps going. Oh,
and it's like worn in with this part where she's so the first part of it is it's like I'm having sex on a hotel floor. It's not about being in love anymore. Like, this is what it's like to be an American whore. Like, just this like grim description of it.
Right.
And then it goes through this transformation. And then it's like, this guy only comes over to sex when he wants to get high. And when his mom calls me, I tell him he's fucking up big time. But I don't even care. Like, I don't even care. Like, I'm high. I'm enjoying it. I'm losing my mind. Like, the juxtaposition of the things is so, like, jarring. And I mean, Dolly is completely right. Like, it's not my experience. It's hard for me to comment on it. I have no idea whether it's I presume it's an accurate description of her own experience. But just this like raw statement of it, and as a combination between the two parts, I just thought was just gripping and fascinating. I couldn't get enough of it. It was the one song I listened to more than any other during the year. It just blew my mind.
Wow. So wait, was Dahlia concerned that you were going to? I don't know. Like.
So one thing that's great is criticize? That Dahlia does not. Dolly does not listen to the podcast, so she has no idea that I frequently opine on the lives of African Americans and women and children lots of people who I am not.
Yeah.
So that's great news for me.
Right.
I think it's a particularly sensitive song because the first 4 minutes of it is tough. You know, it's a tough listen, her description of what the life is like. I think that was her concern.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I like this song. I heard it. I can't remember where I heard it. I think it was on a run with the dogs or something like that. And Spotify was just playing stuff for me. And I recognized it as Lana Del Rey for a while. And it was like, you know, I was 4 minutes later. I'm like, wait, is this the same song?
Totally.
Did I mess out or something?
It's on my exercise mix, and that'll happen because there's a minute and a half in the middle where it transitions from one song to another seamlessly, and like it speeds up and changes keys, but it's still like so well produced and so well put together. But then it is like you fall asleep for a minute and then you wake up and you're like, wait, what the hell? Like Jimmy Coco Butt is over now? What is happening here?
But it killed me. The your mom called and you're fucking up big time. Like that.
Oh, such a great joke.
That reminded me of my 20s. Like,
oh, I was just going to say, there's a chapter in each one of our autobiographies called that.
Yeah.
Although mine, that happened more for me in 11th grade. Once I left the house, mom took the foot off the gas.
Oh,
but
dude, I had the exact.
I'm sorry. My parents listen to the podcast, so my mom's going to have to just live this one. But like, there was some moment in high school when I had low grades at like, you know, one of those mid quarter where they don't matter. It's just like a marking period. And, you know, I was 4'10 and 91 pounds in the 10th grade. So things were going great. And my grades slipped a little bit. And she called me out on it, like, with this, like, fake Columbo, like, so you think you're doing okay? You think you're doing okay in your grades? And I was like, yeah. And she, of course, had an answer, and it wasn't yeah. And she tried to, like, box me into a corner, and she had no idea the teenage rage just being held back underneath the surface. So
yeah.
I should probably apologize for that moment. But you don't corner a tiny, frightened
10th grade
angry little punk creature with his C+ in algebra 2 because it's not going to go well.
Yeah,
I've got a more apples to apples. Your mom called. My lovely, super nice high school girlfriend, Cheryl. We had a really unfortunate and ugly breakup completely on my side, fall semester freshman year. Bad enough where Cheryl's mom called my mom.
Oh, no.
And my mom and my mom reported back to me that she was like, I just didn't defend you at all. I was like, yes, he's a monster. I based on your description of it, like, it's completely unacceptable. Believe me, we didn't raise him to be like this. And I will do my best to talk to him. But, you know, it's just he's useless. There's nothing you could do with this person.
Oh my God. Wait, you know, you're a generous guy, because once a family member exits Team Ben, they have a lot to do to get back on the train, as far as I'm concerned. Like, your number one job as parent is to ride or die for Team Child. Like, come on.
I can't
come on.
You broke up with someone so badly that their mother called your mother. That's rough. Wow. All right. Well, great, great song. I shall listen to it even more. Jeff Simons, what was your favorite song?
I have a perfectly appropriate choice for 50-year-old men's. I'm choosing a 50-ish-year-old man's song.
Okay.
This is the song I listen to more than any other in 2023. I think it's fantastic. It's funny. It's poignant. It's beautiful. And it is the second time I've chosen a fantastic song from a mediocre record from the same artist on this show, because my song of the year is by Ben Folds. And it's a song from a pretty forgettable Ben Folds record where I only like three or four songs. But this song in the middle of the record is just him at his absolute best. Beautiful composition, fantastic singing and playing. It's a song called Christine from the Seventh Grade. And it is about an old friend who has gone down the social media rabbit hole and found herself pulled into a cultish point of view.
Oh, dear.
And it is funny, and it is forgiving, and it is simple and complicated all at the same time. And I'm going to just play a little part in the middle, but the lyrics as a whole sum up this moment where we have lost our ability to find common ground across so many ideologies and identities. So well, and such, it's just one of those great songs where a very small story tells a very large story. So the song starts, "Are you the same Christine I knew from seventh grade? No, it's definitely you, just with a new last name. Someone who laughed a lot is what I remember the most, but the face in your profile suggests maybe not so much anymore. And I've got the emails these last 2 years every day. And I just don't reply because I'm just not really sure what to say, Christine from the seventh grade." I'm going to play you the second verse. And I might read the third verse because the third verse is so well done and pretty that it actually chokes me up when I listen to it. So
you can play it. Just keep playing it.
All right, hold on. I'll pull. Let me find the right moment to start.
Remember, you don't have that one minute anymore.
But I know. I had the perfect moment and then I second doubt of myself. All right, here's verse two, which I just love. Here we go. Ready?
Christine from the Seventh Grade by Ben Folds.
The anger, the all caps, and all the pseudoscience, the misspellings, they must be on purpose. We went to a good school, Christine. So what would you imagine I might take from this deluge of memes? The cryptic dark Bible quotes, guns and dead fetuses. Seriously, Christine, are you okay? 'Cause this world can be wonderful too, yeah. Do you ever see it that way, Christine? From the seventh grade.
It's this beautiful long instrumental part, which we don't have time for, that where it's almost like a ballet. Like, you can almost see the pirouetting, and then he breaks into this breakdown verse and delivers the gut punch. Let's see if I can find it.
you ever see it that way?
Right here.
Oh, what a shame, Christine. This disease that makes strangers of friends. But if these days it's really us's and them's, maybe you should just take me off both of those lists. Cause it's such a short and sad and beautiful life. Do you ever see it that way?
And that's it. He just fades it out with this beautiful little, like,
wow,
very simple piano part. But I just, that, because it's such a short and sad and beautiful life. Like, that's chapter 25 of our autobiographies. If chapter 3 is your mom is called and telling us you're fucking up, like, that's your 20s. And the realization that it was all spectacular and crazy and hurtful and beautiful all at once is where we all are. You know, this is the realization we're all making now, hour by hour in these conversations. And he just captured that for me. I am so heartbroken of where we are as a nation. Like, this country is breaking my heart, and watching this election coming, this song, like, yes, it's a little pointed in places, but what the song is more than anything else is sad. And when Ben Folds allows himself to be sardonic rather than sarcastic, he is capable of profound songwriting. So this is my song of the year.
And it's just, it's a feeling and an experience we've all kind of navigated, but I've never heard someone try to articulate it. You know, make art out of it. There's art about everything, but there's not art about, oh gosh, this person again online, like, what are you doing?
Just love that line, the misspellings must be on purpose, we went to a good school, Christine. I mean, the way he's like, he's talking about the issue, but he spends the whole time talking directly to her.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the beauty of the song, you know?
And the all caps, all caps,
it's great.
So I listened to this record and took the songs I liked, and I did not take this song. Can you guess why, Jeff?
Because it's slow.
522.
Yeah.
522. Just too long. That being said, yeah, I did like that. And he's a beautiful singer and songwriter. I do, with the suburb stuff, and sometimes he'll outkick his covers a little bit.
Yep.
This one seemed a little bit more... in line, and I completely agree with you about the state of American debate and democracy. It's super sad and upsetting for me. It's really still quite good inside this building here at the University of Tennessee College of Law. Like, I'm ever heartened by that. I try and pitch it right down the middle and get a good reaction from the students as far as I can tell. But you know, every year I worry about it, and it's hard for sure.
Yeah.
And we'll see what teaching in a high school is like in the fall when the election's
looming. Well, do you face a completely different set of challenges than I? I mean, basically, so in Torts 2, we covered defamation. And I used to say, like, defamation's a dying tort. It's stupid. It should go away. And now I'm like, unless you win $700 million against Fox News. that's a thing that happened.
Just happened.
And,
yep.
Yeah. And I'm not going to be like, and they won by mistake. I'm like, and it's because Fox News repeatedly broadcast things that they knew were false, that people who worked for them were like, this is false. And then they just put her back
on the news to do it. Yep.
And so, I mean, there's just like, there's this particular era raises that kind of dilemma where there's just like, I try really hard to talk both sides. I can't, there's not, what can I say about that? Like, those machines were not controlled by the Venezuelan government with paper made from bamboo in China. That's not a thing that happened. That's not how these machines work. Like, I can't give you both sides.
Yep.
Do you know I used to teach Sidney Powell's son?
No way. Really?
I did indeed. Yep. Did indeed.
Well, she was it has been in the past a decorated lawyer who made a great living for herself and was a proven to be a smart lady. It just didn't work out for her in this regard.
Seriously, Sydney, are you okay? I mean, that's what I love about this song. Like, it really, it says to the character of the song a thing I have wanted to say to a few people in my own life. So,
all right, well, I'm gonna bring this home. 2023. Let's put 2023 to bed. Before we play the song, Jeff and Ben, you all know me pretty well in the 4 years we've been doing this. I would love for you to picture yourselves as the chemists in the Tim Plain musical meth lab, and you're making me the perfect cocktail. I really think for some reason this song by a band I don't know hits all the measures, all the things in your musical meth lab. I would love for the two of you to be able to articulate to me why this song appeals to me. Crazily enough, Ben, it's by Big Thief, a band I've never
heard of. Oh, nice!
A band I've never heard of. And then I can't believe the woman that you were talking about in text a few weeks ago, who you mentioned earlier, is in Big Thief. So, Jeff, what I'd love to do is spend a minute and 30 with the song before we cut it off.
Here it comes.
Here we go.
Vampire Empire by Big Thief.
Watching TV tired, bleeding on the bed. And milk is just expired, all the leaves are dead. I'm not quiet, you've been quiet, just receiving what you said. Reeling, feeding, feeling, filled by everything you fed. I see you as you see yourself through all the books you read. Overwhelmed with guilt and realizing the disease. You give me chills, I've had it with the chills. I'm nothing, you are nothing, we are nothing with the pills. I'm empty till she fills, alive until she kills. And her vampire, empire, I into the pond, then we come under the shower. You lay upon my pillow and you open like a flower. I wanted to see you naked, I wanted to hear you scream. Wanted to kiss your skin and your everything. I wanted to be your woman, I wanted to be your man. I wanted to be the one that you could understand. You give me chills, I've had it with the chills. I'm nothing, you are nothing, we are nothing with the pills. I'm empty till she.
Woo, it's Vampire Empire by Big Thief. Tell me what I'm drawn to.
Dude, she did that song live just herself.
Oh, did she really?
Just exactly like that, but with like finger picking. It was amazing.
Oh my god. I gotta see her live. She's great.
Here's the line that got me that I would guess would get you. I see you as you see yourself through all the books you read.
Yeah. That's a great line.
So
such
good.
A good line.
And then to just have it loop around to the goofy, almost play, like child play. You give me chills. I've had it with a drill. This I'm nothing. You're nothing. We're nothing with the pills. I'm empty till she fills. Alive until she kills. Falling, falling. Yeah. Fantastic.
So
really,
good.
Really, really, really like, and this is what the show is like too. Like just beautiful, weird, angular songs, no clear choruses really, and her voice is so unusual. Like her voice is so pretty and weird,
and leans into it totally. Like it's her strength.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So you love that. You like weird voices because you like the Sugar Cubes and you like the Pixies and you like Victoria Williams, all of which I think are sonic precursors here, right? Yep. And you like things that when you like Jenny Lewis, the record with the twins, the Watson twins,
which is
the same kind of you. It's interesting. Like you are you gravitate to things where the mix is deliberately strange, right? Like the drums here are too big for the song. And that's part of why you like
very
it.
Weird.
And you like the kind of squonky coming in and out guitars. It's interesting. This is and it's very Ghost Is Born too, right? Like found sounds and deliberate dirtying of the. And what cracks me up is this is a new phenomenon. Like when I met you, you did not like
true?
This music.
Is that
you
true?
Preferred Hot House Flowers.
That's true.
To other Irish bands because they were cleaner.
I got those other things.
They got those scratchy edges, yeah. But you've developed over time like this really interesting desire for sandpaper in your music. So I think that's why it jumped out at you so much.
I also love, and you said this when I was talking to you once about Arcade Fire, like this kind of this uber intensity or something. And that's what I feel coming from her. Like she's kind of like emotionally just hanging on. And she loses it. I think in the next verse, like she uh-huh. it goes kind of off the rails in a beautiful way. Yeah. Songs about relationships and songs that do something totally new. When she goes to that super high pitch, I'm like, wait, what did she just do? But it's the stuff that it's those little quirky things that that made me want to come back to it. All right, so that was Vampire.
Dude, also, I assume you're with me, like the passionate kids. I'm so happy for them. I'm like, oh, this is still happening out there. There are still kids out there reading books and falling in love and going crazy about it. That's fantastic news. More like that. I love to hear it. Just makes me so happy.
Bringing that original freshness to this thing that
totally.
We once felt.
It's new, but universal. It's fantastic.
Oh, so great. Go kids. Go kids. All right. Well, that was it. That is 2023 in a nutshell. Those are
except
our
except we have to do
songs,
it all again for the albums.
But we're doing it all again for the albums, but I'm going to have
it's going to be like two nuts right next to each other. You're going to cut that? It's not going to make it?
I'll let it go. No one will understand what we're talking about. We're gonna see you for the next final podcast of season three, 2023 album of the year that we'll choose,
and then we will tease through the interregnum what
I say we
the
set
future may
I say
or may
we
not
set
hold.
The date. I say we set the date so that our listeners have a nice 6 month layoff where they think about what they were doing on May 10th, 1989.
I don't think we don't have confirmation yet from me. You're pushing Ben too hard.
Oh,
we'll see.
Okay. Well, from three old fogies, thanks so much for listening. Jeff, will you have the other old fogies who are producing new art in 2023 play us out?
Oh, yeah. This turned out to be the biggest nothing burger of 2023, I think.
But I really, really like this song.
But
right.
A year when the Rolling Stones made a record.
Yeah. Gentlemen, I'll see you later. Thanks for listening.
Don't get angry with me. I never caused you no pain.
All right, later, guys.
Well done.
Later, friends. Thank you. That was fun. Hey, where are you going, Ben?
Oh,
Ben.
Home.
No, like Wednesday. You're leaving town for a bunch of days?
Oh,
you just
yeah,
busy?
Man. Super fun. It's Wednesday, I fly up to New York. Thursday, Jake and I, for Christmas, take each other out to Le Bernardin. Super fancy restaurant in New York. Friday night,
right.
I take my nephew Dexter out to the Yankee game.
Okay.
Nice. And then to be determined whether it's Saturday or Sunday, but I'm seeing game one of the Knicks versus the winner.
Oh, let's go.
7-8. So probably the Sixers. I'll probably see game one Knicks Sixers in Madison Square Garden with my buddy Reiner, who's got the fantastic.
Tickets.
He's like 10th row seats behind the
oh
basket.
My God.
So let's start with that. Let's start with sporting events, because you can tell those two stories, and I'll tell my story of seeing A's Nats in Oakland Coliseum, and we could compare Yankees, Knicks, and Athletics. It'll be really funny.
You're going to be a little grimmer than mine for sure.
Oh, it'll be great. It'll be great.
All right. Sounds great, fellas.
Awesome.
See you
thanks,
right.
friends.
Adios.
Today is working for me. Do you believe that for yourself? Hey, I'm Pastor Julie, and I want to empower you through encouragement, inviting you to my podcast, Big Truth Encouragement, where I unpack living a faith-filled life.
I created my podcast for the ladies, but gentlemen, you'll gain something too. So I invite you to listen to Big Truth Encouragement on ElectricCast and any platform where you listen to your podcast.
ElectricCast.
Ever thought about starting your own podcast? Do you have a business or a message you want to share with the world?
Well, now it's easier than ever with ElectricCast. Hi, I'm Mark Netter.
And I'm Peter Rafelson. We're the founders of ElectricCast Media.
Whether you want to start a new podcast or already have one, join ElectricCast to grow your audience, monetize your content, and build your community.
With our simple sign-up, you get free promotion, world-class analytics, premium ads, and personal support.
Go to ElectricCast.com and join our community today.
ElectricCast. Transform your influence.
ElectricCast. ElectricCast.